Acts chapter number 26. The book of Acts chapter number 26, right near the end of the chapter, or end of the book rather. And we're dealing tonight in chapter 26 with Paul's defense before Agrippa, King Agrippa. We are coming up on an election this coming Tuesday, and we have received, I'm sure you have received many pieces of articles of mail. Some may have even gotten phone calls, and we hear the messages every day on the radio, on the television. I even get them on my phone, and I'm sure you do too. People are trying to get us to vote for them, and they're a politician, and they are doing their best to convince us that what they have is the cure-all for what we have. And I never have seen anybody have the cure-all, but they still continually say they do. And they want us to believe everything that they have before us. So as we read tonight in this chapter, it sort of goes along with that, because this man Agrippa, I believe he was a politician. He was a man of authority. He was a king that had been set in place over some of the affairs of the Jewish people. And so I just entitled tonight, "The Politician Who Knew the Truth and Did Nothing." And that pretty well describes a lot of politicians. They maybe know the truth, but they don't do much with the truth. And this man that we deal with tonight, King Agrippa, he falls into that category because of his position that he had. He had some difficulty listening and obtaining what Paul and believing what Paul told him concerning his life. I want to just read one verse to start with, and that's verse number 28. Acts chapter 26, verse number 28. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." If these are not the saddest words of the Scripture, they certainly would rank high on the list of words that would be very sad to read and to imagine, that a man has heard the truth and has been almost persuaded. He's heard the message, but yet it has not made him completely acceptable to the message, and he confesses to Paul here, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." If we look in those first verses, verse number 1 down through verse number 27, you'll find that the Apostle Paul was giving his personal testimony as what had happened to him in his life, and especially on the road to Damascus. Of course, we know that Paul here is he is on trial. The trial should not have been to begin with, because of politics and because of the fear of the people, the different ones that had dealt with Paul kept putting it off and pushing it forward to some other man, and now it comes before King Agrippa. And we find that there are different ones that have heard his message, and they are certainly touched by the message of Paul, but they would not make the right decision, the right choice. And this is an important trial for Paul, because it would determine what was going to be the end of his life. It was going to determine how he was going to spend the last days and the last years, months of his life. And so he is standing trial, and he gives defense, and he has the masses of people that are against him. And certainly iniquity, sin, controlled the masses. Sin controlled the masses around the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the sinners that despised his words. It was the religious sinners that despised the works and the words of Jesus Christ, and they demanded that he be crucified. And that same religious crowd is the crowd that followed Paul around in his ministry and bothered him and troubled him in every aspect of his life, and finally have come to the point now that Paul has appealed to Caesar. We find he stands before Felix, and Felix trembles at the word of God. He trembles at the message that Paul gives him. And he says, "You go your way, I'll hear you at a more convenient time." He stands before Festus, and gives his message to him. And as he does that, he appeals to Caesar. Of course, Caesar would be the highest officer, the highest official of the Roman Empire. He was the main man. And Paul, being a Roman citizen, he had the right to do that. Paul had been arrested on different occasions and was treated unlawfully and was treated wrong because he was a Roman citizen. And now he appeals to Caesar. And as he does that, he stands in defense before King Agrippa. And so this same iniquity crowd and sinful crowd that crucified the Lord is now trying to rid the world of Christians and trying to rid the world of the effect of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in verse number 24, it says, And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Here this man Festus had heard all the stories that he wanted to hear, and he cries with a voice, he yells out at Paul, and literally says, Paul, you are crazy. You've been educated, but that education has literally destroyed your mind, and you've made you mad. You are one that has no common sense about him. And so Paul stands before these men, and he stands before Agrippa. And Agrippa hears the testimony of this great apostle, the Apostle Paul, and he comes to the conclusion, almost, thou persuadest me. The open door that was given to Paul was a door that was certainly, I believe, an advantage, and he took advantage of that open door. For the Bible says in chapter 26 and verse number 1, Then Agrippa said to Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Now, that's a bad thing to tell a preacher. You can speak for yourself now. It's your turn to give your defense. And all the charges have been laid against him. All the things are put before him. And now Agrippa says, Now, Paul, you're permitted to speak. And Paul uses that open door. I believe that was the desire of Paul's heart, was that he would be able to speak for himself, that he'd be able to stand and say of the blessings of the Lord, that he'd be able to declare to that courtroom and that trial and those that were around him that he would be able to give place to the Lord of what he had done in his life. And that was his desire and his delight, to be able to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to be our desire. It ought to be our desire and delight to do the same thing, that Christ would give us opportunity to speak up for Him when time comes. And whether it be at the house, someone come to see us, or we go see them, or whether it be on the street corner or wherever it might be, we ought to have a desire in our heart and be delighted to be able to speak something good for Jesus Christ, for all that He has done for us, because it really is our duty to do that. It is our duty to be able to speak. And Paul declares to this man Agrippa and to these that are listening, Paul declares to him the power of the gospel. He declares to them the message of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Festus, I believe he felt that power and he understood that power. And he cries out with a loud voice, Paul, you're crazy. Paul, you're a madman. And the learning that you have has destroyed your reasoning and your ability to think. And so Paul here makes a declaration, and he gives forth his desire to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few of the verses here tonight in these first few verses. As we read that verse 28, that's the conclusion of some of the things that were said. And so Paul has been permitted to speak for himself. And the Bible says in verse 1, Then Paul stretched forth his hands and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Paul said, I'm delighted, I'm happy that I can give to you my defense, and I can answer give an answer to all those things that I've been accused of by those Jews that followed him around from place to place. Verse number 3, it says, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Now, any time a preacher says to hear me patiently, you're going to have a whole lot to listen to. And that means you got to just sort of sit down and listen a little bit. And so Paul tells King Agrippa, he gives him a compliment here that is noteworthy. And he says, I know thee to be an expert in the customs of the Jews. Now Agrippa was one that knew, and he was over the Jewish reign or the Jewish people as in the Roman reign over them. And Agrippa was the top man to that point. And Paul says, I know your position makes you one that is knowledgeable of all the customs of the Jews. And so he gives him the message here that Paul says, I know you can listen, I know you can understand, because you have understanding of the, and you're an expert in the customs and the questions that come up among the Jews. He is the one that is supposed to handle all the issues. He is the one that's supposed to make sure it doesn't get to Caesar. He's the last judge or the last one that a person would talk to before going to Caesar, and his job was to take care of all the different problems and to take care of all the affairs, and he says here the customs and questions of the Jews. And so Paul gives him compliment there, and he says, now I want you to listen to me patiently as we speak. Verse 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Paul says, here's the whole thing. I'm accused of believing what the fathers taught. Paul is laying here his defense to this man that's the king and this man that's a ruler. He's laying here his defense that he was a Jew. Not only was he a Jew, but he lived of the strictest of the group of people that were Jewish religionists of that day, and they were called the Pharisees. Those are the same ones that Jesus said, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And Jesus said, you clean up the outside of the cup, but the inside is still full of dead men's bones. That's the group that the Lord would speak to and make them realize that He knew their heart, even though they looked out at everyone else and they tried to look better and be better. They made sure they dressed right. They made sure that everything was right as far as the outward appearance was concerned. And Paul said, I was one of those, and I was a Pharisee of the strictest sect. And he says, I lived a Pharisee. I lived that type of life. So Paul is laying the foundation. Paul was not a rebel rouser. Paul was not a troublemaker. Paul was not someone that did not believe or accept the things of the Jewish religion. He lived a Pharisee, and he was a religious man. And so Paul tells King Agrippa, and Agrippa is getting the message here, who Paul is. And he says, and I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He said, I'm judged because of what our fathers believed and the hope that they had. Now notice the next verse here. Verse 8, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So Paul is admitting his actions. Paul is admitting here in the courtroom and in the trial that is going to determine his fate. He said, I was a Pharisee. I was the strictest of Pharisees. And he said, I thought myself to do harm or do contrary things against the name of Jesus. And he said, I did it in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I put into prison. I had authority from the chief priests. I put them to death. I gave my voice against them. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. So Paul says to King Agrippa, I know exactly what it is to be outside of the good things of God. I know exactly what it is to live a life of a Pharisee, a religious man, but yet had no salvation. And here this man is the king, and he's listening to all this, and I'm sure the king recognized the truth because Paul said, you know the customs and you know the standards and the ways of the Jews in which we are of. And so he said, I punished them in the synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme. I was exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So Paul said, I followed them everywhere they went, and I made havoc of their life and those people that were saints of God. And so Paul is open with his defense, and he said, this is what it was. Well, thank God we can say what we used to be is not what we are. And Paul made testimony here. He says, this is what I did. This is what I was. This is how I acted. I was mad against the saints in Jerusalem. He said, I chased them even into strange cities. And he said, I punished them in their own synagogues. I made them to blaspheme. And then he says, whereupon, verse 12, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, whereupon I was going to Damascus, and I was there, and he says here that he had authority and commission from the chief priest, but a change takes place. Something happens in the life of Paul. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So here we find Paul admitting what he had done, telling King Agrippa, and he's addressing him personally. He says, at midday, O king, I saw a light. And he tells what took place that day as he went from Jerusalem to Damascus. He heard the voice. In verse 16 it says, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now, I like this verse. Immediately when Paul hears from the Lord, when Paul listens to the message that Jesus is giving him, the Lord says, you rise, stand on your feet, I have a purpose for your life. I'm glad God has a purpose for my life. I'm glad God has a purpose for your life. All of our lives, God has a purpose. Now, Paul is told here immediately what the purpose of his life from this point on would be. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, number one, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So, Paul, you're going to be a minister. You're going to be a witness. You're going to give testimony. And Paul here is fulfilling part of that that he was told there on the road to Damascus. Then he says, delivering thee, number two, from the people and from the Gentiles, and whom now I send thee. Here's part of the purpose. Number one of verse 18 is to open their eyes. Paul's purpose in life was to open the eyes of those that were blinded. Thank God tonight we can have the same effect on blind folks spiritually if we just tell them the truth. If we preach them the gospel, if we give them the message, we would open, their eyes would be opened. And he says, and to turn them from darkness to light. And then he says, and from the power of Satan unto God. And then that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So Paul has laid out now his life. He's gone from the worst, and he's told him from that point on what happened on the road to Damascus, and here's the purpose that God gave to him. And he says, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the call of God. I was not disobedient to what the Lord had given me in that heavenly vision, but showed first to them of Damascus. And he tells here all the things that took place, and he tells about preaching Christ should suffer, verse 23. And then old Festus had heard all that he could, and he said, Paul, you're a madman. You're an educated man, but your education has made you mad. And he certainly was not happy. He did not want to hear what Paul was saying. He says, for the king knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely. And so the king, Festus, he tells Paul that he's a madman, and he's not listening, not doing as he should. And verse 25, Paul said, I'm not mad. He said, I'm not mad, noble Festus. Paul's very kind to these men that are holding the balance of power in his hand. He says, I'm not mad, Festus, noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I'm telling you the truth. Now, can you imagine, if we can put ourselves in that setting for a moment, here is the strong King Agrippa sitting in the judgment seat of the Apostle Paul. He has heard the testimony, and God has given us, and by inspiration, the parts of this testimony that we are to know. And I don't know if this was everything that Paul said or not, but this is what God has preserved unto us. And here Festus says, you're mad, and Paul says, I'm not mad, but I speak words of truth and soberness. Verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing is not done in a corner. Paul says, these things about my life are open to everyone. My testimony is known far and wide. He said, it's not a little corner session. King Agrippa knows these things to be true. And then on verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Doesn't give him a chance. He said, I know you believe. Agrippa knew the customs. He knew the things of the Jews. And he knew the prophets. He knew the words of the prophets. And he probably was a religious man. And Paul says, I know that you believe. I know that you know the prophets. And at that point, Agrippa said to Paul, almost. I'm sure this king recognized the truth, but he did nothing. He knew what the truth was, but yet he said nothing. There's no doubt about Paul's preaching. Paul was very pointed. Paul was very clear, and these truths were known by this man, Agrippa. But remember, he's a politician. Remember, he's an appointed official. He's one that has to answer to higher authorities, and he is the one that has the authority over the Jews to make sure that peace and calm reigns in that area. And if it doesn't reign there, then he's the one that's going to suffer. He's the one that's going to have to answer for it. And he hears the truth and he says, "Almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The king was acquainted with the Scriptures. Do you know the prophets? Paul said, "I know you do. Do you know the Word? Do you know the message? Do you know the things of our fathers that I'm speaking of and these things that I'm accused of? Agrippa, I know that you know those things." But yet he said nothing. When Festus opposed Paul, Paul said, "I'm not mad, for the king knoweth these things." He tells them here that after he's been told that he's a madman, he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth truth, for the king knoweth of these things." Paul's not telling a lie. He's not trying to build up a defense out of stories. And he knew that the king knew what he was telling was true. Yet old King Agrippa could never bring himself to believing. He could never bring himself to understanding and accepting the things of the Lord. The king could say much, but he said nothing. The king could have freed Paul, but he did not. He was a politician who knew the truth, but he did nothing and said nothing. The king resisted this truth, even though the words here are sad. The words are words of resistance, almost. We have a song in our songbook, Almost Persuaded. And almost is but to fail. Almost will not avail, and it will not work, and almost is just falling short. Almost is like shooting an arrow at the target and the arrow falls short of the target. It does not make it. And the Scripture tells us here that this king knew, I believe, what he meant when he said he knew what a Christian was, for he knew what Paul was. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And so this man that resisted the truth, he knew what it was. He knew where it was in his heart. And Paul had preached to Felix and he trembled. And Paul had preached to Festus and he was troubled. And now Paul preaches to Agrippa and he should have trusted, but he turned his back on that because of the fear of those around him. I'm sure as he lived his life, if he did never become a believer, of course, we know that if he did not, he died and went to the devil's hell. And he is there tonight just as real and just as fresh in hell as he was the first night or the first day that he was there. And he is still echoing the words, "I wish I had not just been almost. But like Paul told me, I wish that I'd have been altogether convinced." For Paul tells him in verse number 29, Paul says, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I, except these bonds." Paul said, "I wish everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice was like I am, except no bonds, no chains, no shackles." Paul said to Agrippa, "It's not only you that I'm talking to, but it's all these that are with you." And he said, "I would to God that thou and all that are with me this day would be both almost and altogether." He's talking about being almost altogether persuaded into the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached to these men, and Felix, he did tremble. Chapter 24. In verse number 25, under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, that man that's another politician, another authority figure, he trembles at the word of the Lord and yet he rejects it. You find Festus is troubled as we read here. And he has been troubled before in chapters before this. And Agrippa, he could have trusted, he could have been altogether persuaded. He could have been altogether persuaded in his life, but he turned from that. And the king here confessed that he was not yet a Christian. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The king had witnessed the power of God. But yet he did nothing with it. The king had resisted God's truth. He feared maybe Festus. He feared maybe the public. He fortified his conscience against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, almost. But that's not enough. This man who knew the truth, but yet did nothing. He knew the underlying effects of what Paul was talking about. He knew the stories that Paul was talking, because he's not going to stand in judgment over Paul if he doesn't know all the details. He's the judge. He's the one that's going to make, supposedly, an intelligent decision about the life of the Apostle Paul. And so he knows everything about Paul's life, and he knew that Paul told him the truth, and Paul publicly said, you know these things are true. But the king renounced the truth. And he would not accept the truth. Notice verse number 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. He could have been set at liberty. But here is a group of people that keep pushing the life of Paul and the substance of Paul's life. They keep pushing it to someone else. To someone else. And Agrippa and Festus and Bernice and all those that were there that has heard this message of Paul's miraculous salvation that took place there on the road to Damascus and how it changed his life. He went from a persecutor and a hater and a worker against the saints and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's a minister of the gospel, and he's given them the purpose that God told him, and he's shown that he has fulfilled that purpose of the Lord. And so they get over to the side and to themselves, and they discuss the matter, but they're not willing to make a decision. They're not willing to say Paul is innocent. Now we know that all these things that took place are a part of the will of God for Paul's life. For Paul was told of the Lord that he was going to Rome. But these men here had the authority. These politicians had the authority when knowing the truth, they could have set him free, but they did nothing. And Agrippa said to Festus, Festus already said he's mad. Festus already said he's lost his mind. And Agrippa says to him, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. The court has adjourned now in verse number 30. The accusations have been made. The defense has been made, and they all in one accord say Paul is innocent. But yet they do nothing. All of them say he's not guilty. They'd gone aside. They talked between themselves. This man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Paul is not guilty of dying. He had no crimes. Paul is not worthy of the bonds and the chains and the shackles that were upon him. He should not even have that. But for fear of others, they do nothing. Their excuse in action by saying, this man might have been. That was the only thing they could say. He might have been set free if he hadn't have. Well, he could have been set free if they had have. And so tonight, here's a man that, and a bunch of people involved in this, but primarily we're talking about King Agrippa saying almost persuaded. And here's a man that could have. He could have accepted the truth. He could have set him free, but he did nothing. I'm sure King Agrippa probably was a decent man, maybe. That particular time frame might not have been, but at least he was willing to hear the things of the Apostle Paul, and he had the knowledge of the customs of the Jews. But yet he fell short when he said, almost. Almost persuade me to be a Christian. Paul, you've almost convinced me. And Paul said, I wish you were altogether. Not just almost, but altogether such as I. And Paul is saying, I wish and my hope and prayer to God is that you be saved. We mentioned that even the other night, that was his prayer for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, that they might be saved. And Agrippa stands before him. The decision is inevitable. It's inescapable. Paul's going to Rome and Paul's going to die. And these people had an opportunity to do something, but yet they would not. And so I just put a title, The Politician Who Knew the Truth and Did Nothing. May God help us to do what needs to be done, to tell the truth, believe the truth, express the truth to others, that they might hear the gospel. And of course, after this period of time, Paul makes his journey to Rome, and he writes to Timothy in those years that are to follow. He said, I'm ready to be offered. My departure's at hand. He had finished his course. You know, he finished the purpose that God gave him, that he restated here in the book of Acts, that he heard that day on the road to Damascus. And in the city, as God told him, here's what you're going to do, Paul. You're going to preach to kings. Your purpose in life is to be a preacher. And Paul says, I have finished my course. I pray God would help all of us to finish our course that he has set before us. Let's stand together tonight.